Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Today we're continuing on in the book of Acts. Last week we saw Peter preaching the gospel and 3,000 people being saved, and the Church of Jesus Christ was born. We see further on that as the apostles preached, the Holy Spirit drew more and more people into the church every day. And from then on, the church grew exponentially. In these next few verses of Acts chapter 2, we see a picture of what the first church of Jesus Christ looked like. So I'll read from Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who are being saved. I'd like to bear your heads and just pray. Lord Jesus, as we look at your word today, I just ask that that my words be yours, Lord, and that you'll open the hearts and minds of all those that hear it, and that we will hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So in those few verses, God has described what the perfect church should look like. And it's no coincidence that the very first sentence he mentions the four things that the church was devoted to. And the first thing mentioned is that they are devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. So who were the apostles? The apostles were people who had seen the risen Christ, and well, there was lots of people that saw the risen Christ, but these had been specifically authorized by Jesus to spread his word. They lived with him for 3 years and he trained them. The only exception to this was the Apostle Paul, whom Jesus had spent 3 years giving him revelations in the Arabian desert. And that's all recorded in the book of Galatians. In short, the apostles' teachings were Jesus' teachings. Everyone knows that the most important part of a building is its foundations. If the foundations move just a bit, then the integrity of the whole building comes into question. Attitudes and values change. What was once acceptable now isn't, and other things that weren't once acceptable now are. When the apostles began to pass on, and most of them were killed, martyred for their belief in Jesus, others didn't just take over their teaching so it could be corrupted by word of mouth or failing memories or hidden agendas. Instead, all of the writings of the apostles and associates of the apostles were collected and put together in a book that we call the New Testament. So the early church was devoted to the teachings of the apostles, and we should be devoted to the teachings of the Bible. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and this cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself." But what does it mean to be devoted to the teachings of the Bible? This devotion could be misinterpreted as trying to obey all of Jesus' teachings and commandments, to live to the letter of the law. Last week, we heard in verse 37 that Peter's words pierced their hearts. In other translations, it says they were cut to the heart. In other words, their hearts were changed. Many of the people who joined the original church would have either been there at Jesus' crucifixion or had heard it from someone who was there. Up until that time, their life had all been all about them. But here was someone who put everyone else before himself. He had suffered a terrible death for the very people who hated him and wanted him dead. People were devoted to the apostles' teachings because they wanted to get to know a person that would do such a thing. Being devoted to the teachings of the Bible isn't about finding out what's right or wrong. It's about building a relationship with Jesus Christ. In verse 43, it says, "A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders." These signs and wonders confirmed the apostles' teachings. Jesus did miraculous signs and wonders to confirm that he really came from God. God continued to work signs and wonders through the apostles to confirm that their teaching really came from God. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, "This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." Verse 42 says that early church was also devoted to fellowship. The Greek translation for fellowship, which I can't pronounce, means a deep sharing and a communion together. If you look around the room, we're all of different ages, different walks of life, and some from different countries. So what do we share as Christians? In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." So first and foremost, we share God together. That's what makes it Christian fellowship. But the fellowship we share with God then results in fellowship with each other. In John 13, verse 34 to 35, it says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." In verses 44 and 45, it says they shared everything, sold their property and possessions, and gave to those in need. Initially, it sounds like they sold everything and were all living in a commune, but later in Acts, we see that they all still had homes that they went back to. And although they gave a lot, you also see later in Acts, they kept making contributions to the church and those in need. What it showed was their possessions weren't as important to them as their relationship with Jesus Christ. 1 John 3 says, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? The next thing the church was devoted to was the Lord's Supper or communion. As we look further on in today's reading, the Lord's Supper is mentioned a couple of times. The second time it's mentioned, in verse 46, it says they broke bread daily. They had communion every day. Well, why is communion so important? Because it ensures that our worship is Christ-centered. It also ensures us that our worship is gospel-centered. Communion not only brings Jesus front and centre, but reminds us of his work for us on the cross, that Jesus suffered and died on the cross for our sins. A As we look again at verse 42, last on the list of things they were devoted to was prayer. Through the gospel, it shows Jesus' life was marked by prayer. He prayed before every major decision. Prayer is our communication with God and how we build a relationship with him. It's how we receive our guidance from him and how we express our gratitude. In Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, it says, "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." So what happens in a church that is devoted to the teachings of the Bible, to fellowship with Jesus and each other, to communion and to prayer? And in the last verse it says, verse 47, "And in each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." Notice it doesn't say that it was the people of the church who were bringing in more people, but it was God who was bringing them in. We don't have to be perfect, but if our church is focused on the Bible, on fellowship and putting others before ourselves, Christ-centered through communion and having a relationship with God through prayer, that is the most powerful witness to the gospel available. God will do the adding. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for our church and all those that are in it and all the work that happens within it, Lord. We just pray that you'll continue to bless our church as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen.